They left for 3 years and a half of wandering. I came home to the town where I was led. Remember the day I walked in onto the Gilly Arch again? Just a pair of uppers on them, my bare feet on the ground. Old torn shirt, beard. Walk down the main street, nobody knows you. Yes, nobody wants to know you. Ah, oh, don't be so starchy when you walk by all these down and outs without a smile at least. There's something inside the old clothes, you know, worth saving. Some of us, you know, when God saves us, we'd think we're something. We're only a sinner saved by grace, no matter who you are. And you will pass them by, you know. They're worth talking to. You say they're no use. They'll take their money and go booming. Well, no, I know that. The prodigal had come home to somebody and know where you'd have sent them. Now, let's just have a wee bit of something about us. I went into the town. Nobody knew me. Nobody wanted to know me. And just to get out of sight, as it were, I turned into an old alley, walked up the alley. As I walked up the alley, I saw an empty house. Have a look at it. The roof was bent in, almost dropping in. Probably condemned. We owned these houses. There was a woman at the corner who owned the grocer's shop, Mrs. Orr. She's alive yet. Walked down into the grocer's shop and said, hello, Mrs. Orr. We own the houses in the alley store. Yes. I said, there's an empty one there. Can we get it? She said, here you. Quickly, woman, you know. Look me from the feet up. I said, go on, have a look at me. She said, you're Willie Mullen. I said, that's right. I said, are you giving me the key of the house? And she never debated this, just put up the gun, gave it to me. Didn't give it to me because of me. I knew, you know, that my mother had befriended her many times. She gave me the key because of my mother. I knew I'd get it for that. I was foxy, all right. And I came up the alley, turned the key in the door, went in, and this is my home now. If you're thinking of getting married, I can assure you this. If you get the key, you can start. You don't need any furniture or anything. You sleep on the tiles. And I slept on the tiles for weeks. Ah, this was the worst move I ever made in life. The worst one. You know, you don't live in a place like that very long, only a few days, till all the boys get to know you there. And they just came in, you know, and I was glad to see them. And they had a card school in here. Played cards all day. And then they boozed the half of the night, and that suited me down to the ground. And when you play cards all day and booze all night, you don't work and you need money for booze. And these fellas knew where to get it, and they got it. They boozed house their headquarters. Suited me all right. Why, I could show you scenes in the morning of a man lying across the fire in his own spewings, and one under the table, and two on the stairs, and two down the hall, lying all over the place, boozed up. This is where I was. You know, I can remember sitting at this table with these fellows. I became a fellow who could handle cards all right. I studied this thing. It was paying me to study it. And I could shuffle cards yet and find you the aces all in a second. But I wouldn't be putting them in my hands now. When the kids were small down at home, I wouldn't even hardly handle the snap cards. This thing became an obsession with me. And I don't like it. It's into your blood. And the day that I got Christ, I turned away from that. But you know, friends, I've seen me sitting round this table at least one night I was. I'm And I heard a footstep at the door. And I thought it was a policeman. Used to be a policeman who hunted us very tightly. He was in this meeting the other night. He was sitting over there. He's Constable Morton from Banbridge. He knows all about it. Because he used to come in and take statements. I met him many times. He knows me better than you do. And I thought it was our good friend Morton at the door, and I said, shh, Bobby. And there's a fellow here who always played cards with a loaded revolver sitting on the table. The tip of card he was. And when he was losing money, he used to lift this and poke it into the fellow's ribs next to him. Enough to make you lose anything, sort of. And I said, that's Morton. And he lifts the gun, puts it in the pocket, you know. Ah, but it wasn't Morton, you know. It was somebody who had tiptoed up the alley, and they put a little white square ball, something like this, just put this in through the door. I don't know who put it in, I don't know yet even, but I was the one who rose and lifted it and had a look at it. It was announcing the gospel mission, if you please, in the Baptist Church at Newton Odds, and Dr. Tucker, who is now the late Dr. Tucker, was to be the preacher. That's just about all I got, and then I screwed it up. So that's an old religious thing. Never bothered any more about it. But I've taken in those few phrases, you know, and this mind contains a lot, and I took them in, and I had them. Now that night was a night of booze. One of the fellows broke into a pub in the middle of the night, landed up at the house about 2 in the morning with a bag on his back full of brandy bottles. Oh, brandy. He wasn't lifting any old Tony Wine or anything like that, but not him. He's bringing in brandy. And you know, when he tumbles this off, everybody just lifts the brandy bottle. And of course they just drank and drank till everybody was stupid. And it was about somewhere about 4:30, coming on to 5, I'm not sure of the time because I was nearly drunk, when I gathered myself out of all this crowd. I can remember this, looking at them all around me, got out into the lane and rubbed my face. I was tired, I was fed up with it. Because I'd been fed up with it for years. Then I went down the alley, and as I got to the end of the alley, a fellow going to work, and in a hurry came round the alley and bumped into me. Sent me flying against the wall. And when I got steadied and looked at him, he was all apologetic. He was a preacher. Used to preach on the streets at Newton Arts. He'd come along the picture queue with his Bible open. This is the way he walked along. Edged down when the queue was there. And if you gave him a sort of half look at all, he just stopped and gave you a lecture, that's all. And everybody knew him. And what you did was, when he came along with his Bible, you always turn your back on. Turn your back and go on by, you know. And this was the character that bumped into me. And knowing this boy as a sort of religious character, as I landed against the wall and he became all apologetic, I said, it's all right, friend, it's all right. I see you're having a mission in the Baptist Church. I thought that was the nicest thing to say at 4:30 in the morning to a preacher. It was this old cunningness of mine working. And I could see him pull up. He said, yes, yes. Oh, pleased he was, you know, this is exactly what I wanted to do. And I put my foot in it, or did I? I said, when I saw him pleased, I said, I'm thinking of coming along one night, you know. I mean, we shouldn't have come along, but this was the nice thing to say, wasn't it? But you know, the minute that I said, you're having a mission, I could see his eyes open. If he wasn't up before he got to that corner, I can assure you he was up now, all right. He looked at me with eyes opened. And when I said, on thinking of coming along one night, he nearly died. But these old doctors, let me tell you this, if they nearly die, they're not long of getting their breath back. Because in the next second, he just got me by the coat and said, "Man, if you're thinking of coming along one night, sure, I'll go with you. I'll sit with you. I'll go down with you, man." It was me that nearly died, no. But I must say this, just the way this fellow looked at me, just the way he gripped me, just the sincerity of the character, really touched me. I said, "You know, I'm nearly drunk and I'm only fooling you about going to meet me, but if you're as keen as what I think you are, I'll go with you one night." He said, "All right, you name the night and I'll go with you. We're all settled now." And sure enough, he came for me and we went away to the meeting. And I saw the old preacher coming out onto the platform, and I know where he preached from that night. He preached from the book of the Revelation, from the portion that says, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the chief captains and the bondmen and every free man hid themselves in the caves and called on the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of his wrath is come." And the old preacher preached on the coming day of wrath for this world. And I can tell you, he was a great preacher. And when he took up prophetic subjects, he knew what he was about. And he preached on the wrath of God that will hit this old world one day with such fury that the kings of the earth and the great men and the chief captains and all the rest will cry for mercy. Well, we have a philosophy in this world tonight. All the clever boys are smeared with it. They say that God is love. You won't touch anybody. There's no judgment there. God loves you. Now, God is love, all right, and God loves you, all right. But let me say that that senseless, erroneous philosophy will be knocked out of a lot of folk when the wrath of God hits this world. Because the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and all the bondmen, will know now that God is more than love. God is justice, God is holy, God is righteous, and God will bring them wrath. Those sinners, not the nonsense of us, I mean, hiding behind this erroneous thing. Holy God, you're going out to meet, and you'll be damned if you're not saved. The old man preached well that evening, and I left the meeting. I was convinced as I left the meeting that the biggest fools in God's earth were the Christians. And I talked with all the preachers for a minute or two. We're always talking, you know, about conviction of sin and all the rest of it. Let me say this, that I was more pleased when I left the meeting than when I went in. I knew this old fellow was talking nonsense. I knew the thing was all baloney. I'd got my ideas now. I'd been at the meeting. I'd heard the preacher. I was convinced it was all nonsense. And let me say this to you, that the old man preached for 3 weeks every night, preached for fat out, wasn't a soul saved, went home to Belfast downhearted. And you know why preachers should get downhearted if they're trusting God? They have to see something, all of them. They have to count numbers or heads. They have to trust the Lord that will do us good. But 3 weeks after the mission was over, you know, after it was over, I got saved. I'll tell you how. You see, the old man was a good preacher, and he buried a portion of God's holy word in my darkened heart that night. He was sowing seeds, and he was a good sower. And I went out with the word of God in my heart, went out cursing the preacher, cursing the Christians, blasting the name of the Son of God, went back to the booze and back to the cards. And sitting one night, 3 weeks after the mission was over, round the card school, a fellow came in, bolted the door, said, "Boys, I know where we can lift 400 or 500 pounds. Ah, that made everybody sit up. And they began to tell us where it was. And then he looked at me and he said, "All right, it's up to you now." And the reason he said that was because when they went to do things like this, I went out a day or two before them and I mocked the land for them. I could sketch almost anything tonight. I never was taught to do it, but I can do it. And I sketched the whole land, and I would know every lane and every field and everything and every house and every place. And I said, "All right, I'll go and sketch it for you tomorrow, and then we'll see what we'll do." And I went out next morning to sketch this land that led to this place where this money was. And I worked all morning, and it was after lunchtime, and I jumped from the hedge down into the field, landed in the long grass, and I looked round this field, and then something said to me, "What about this day of wrath?" And there was nobody listening, nobody talking to me. What is happening? This seed that this old man had sown in my heart, it was beginning to germinate. The Holy Ghost was taking hold of the Word of God now. Because this is how confession comes, isn't it? And I shut my eyes, gave my head a bit of a shake, and I said, "Oh, don't worry yourself about the day of wrath. There's maybe no day of wrath at all anyway. No God, maybe no heaven, maybe no hell, maybe nothing." Trying to get out of it. But you know, something halted me and said, what if there should be a day of wrath? What if you should have to meet God in the next step or two? And let's talk for a moment. Did you ever think about meeting God? And listen this to your mother. There are a lot of mothers in this meeting. Listen, mother. You're going to meet God. One of these nights you're going to meet God, missus. Are you ready? Are you prepared? What are you depending on? Then you will all meet God. See all this great crowd out in the factory there and in here. 1,300 of us. We're going out. I tell you to meet God. Let me bring it closer. Who among us out of these crowds, which one will be the first from us to meet God? Which one of us? Well, if I could answer that for you, I would scare you. Might be you, missus. Take your time now. You're going to meet God. And I was just getting this sort of thing as I stood in the grass. And I can remember looking at the fields and looking at the hills, looking at the trees. And I remember saying this, is a quotation. "I can see about 20 miles of earth, but there are millions of miles I have never seen. Where did this big, vast, moving, wonderful creation come from?" And I knew in the next second the answer was God. The living God, you know. And I felt that God had stepped into the field, as it were, and he was standing before me, he was stopping the way. I thought he'd come to reveal himself that he might lift a drunkard like me and pitch me into the deepest hell. I didn't think about salvation. I just thought that God had walked out from behind the clouds to damn me.